Yo, how was your trip yesterday?
It was pretty epic. There was a huge storm in the UK actually, and I pretty much drove, well, not through it, but like I stopped off at my sister's, and then when it passed, I drove after it. So I got to see the beginning of it and the after of it. So, it was a pretty epic storm.
Have you seen that
So,
kite surfing video? There was
what
like
in
a,
the
in Israel.
UK? In
No, in
Israel,
Israel.
during a
There was like
storm.
a thermal vortex, like a little cyclone, and some kite surfers got caught into it. And one guy, he went like super high, but he was able to eject when he was lower to the ground. The other guy, he got dragged onto rocks and died. So it was it's been posted like four or five times on Reddit, maybe because I like to kite surf, so I see it. It's pretty bad. But yeah, you're talking about the storm reminding me. Sorry, you were saying after the storm.
But I mean, to be honest, we were not impacted. But one thing that makes me nervous is that I think last year, or was it the year before, we had a storm Darragh, and we were out of power for like 47 hours. Is that 2 days? Almost. And it was pretty terrible because without power, we cannot actually power our oil or gas heating systems. So
So
basically, it really goes to hell here very quickly. And
it's funny.
the other thing that really irritates me is that, like, as a South African, if I'm actually used to the power to go out, but the infrastructure, the mobile infrastructure, it always has like a huge backup.
The audio just switched.
From what to what?
I don't know the audio. Maybe when you moved closer, maybe it's the.
Oh, you know what? I think I knocked out the bloody RX or something.
Yeah, test. No, when you said that about you couldn't turn on your electricity, like cooking or anything. When I wanted, I came to Vietnam. I really hated those gas cookers
Oh, yeah,
because
but now you
you're
love them.
like. And the fire, I don't like it because I see videos of these gas canisters exploding and things like that. And I was begging my wife to get like an electric cooker, and she's like, "No way, there's gonna be a power outage and we can't cook."
Yeah,
So,
exactly. Yeah, so
yeah, but we have
we have
now.
like a little Korean set and those little butane canisters for these occasions. But yeah, going back to the infrastructure, because this is the AI infrastructure podcast.
Yeah.
In South Africa, the infrastructure is very robust, but when the power goes out here, in 5 minutes later, my 4G signal disappears, and then
Really?
it. And yeah, like none of the masts in England have backup power. Maybe they do out in like London, but around here in the southwest, none have backup power.
You weren't
So
afraid it was going to be like a Venezuela incident? They take out the power in the city, and next thing you know, your prime minister is on a plane back to the US.
the resiliency factor in UK, and I do think it's related to the mobile infrastructure is very poor actually. So if any Russians are listening to this,
Yeah,
now you know.
but I know they take London what's this movie with Edge with Tom Cruise, where he
Tomorrow's Edge,
replaces, yeah,
tomorrow's.
Tomorrow's Edge. They take London very quickly as soon as the beach battle was lost. Tomorrow's, I watched the movie like four or five times. I don't know, it's maybe because you like games. Anyway. Anyway.
One of the things I wanted to that was just banging around my head after being on site the last couple of days was that on one side I have since I'm a middle manager, I don't know how you feel you are in the industry, but I mean I do feel like I'm a very hands-on middle manager, but nonetheless I'm a middle manager. Since I'm a middle manager, I have the executives sort of asking me, "Hey Kai, how's this AI thing going? It makes people more productive, right? It's how much more productive? 100%, 200%? Can you just tell? Can you build a case study for me to show how more productive you are with AI?" And this is and that said, and the AI rollout in this particular customer is incredibly frustrating and bad because they disable or the good models, so that I got, on one hand I've got these sort of questions, and then for the sort of the colleagues sort of that I work with, many of them are actually quite nervous about the future. And okay, I'm exaggerating here. I think in the notes I call them doomers, but like a lot of people say, like, are basically like saying to me that, like, AI isn't going to make me twice as effective, and it's absolute bullshit that management are coming up with these things as an excuse to reorg and lay off people. But that's the way they feel, and I'm in the middle, and I don't know. And my feeling is just trying to be, well, I am a positive, I like to think I'm a positive person. Some people might disagree with that sentiment, but like, I'm very excited about the future. I am so excited. But at the same time, like, I can't really, like, my fun factor that we have in our little podcast chats, does that translate to a 200% productivity? I'm reluctant to say that. And
So I
at the same
think.
time, I'm like, how do I make people more positive who are around me, or report to me? You know what I mean?
Okay, because you touched on like five different points. I think the first one you mentioned is how do we measure productivity? And that's all about the DevOps Accelerate report, right? The Aura metrics, how many times do you deploy, how long
Yeah,
did it
but
take
the,
from a product feature to go to
but
production, and
let's
how
be
long?
real. A lot of these Dora metrics aren't extremely well recorded and things like that, and they're very hard to.
No, there are. So we implemented the Dora metrics. Well, me, a colleague of mine implemented the Dora metrics as a previous company, and you have four clear metrics that are well defined of what you need to measure, and
Well, you
they
say
are the
that, but
key
I can argue with you,
indicators.
but carry on.
And
Like
the
meantime between failure is often something that's quite contentious, I find.
it's your. The matter is, you need to measure where you are and then measure the improvements, right? So it's about taking snapshots. It's about agreeing, yeah, sure. They identified these are the metrics that correlate to productive companies, or companies that are successful, according to the research that they've been doing, sponsored by Google over several years, looking at many different companies and across different industries and different styles of companies, maturity and all. And they said, look, those four metrics, start measuring them. So then the fact is source of truth. Where do I get this information? How exactly do I measure that for this particular team, for this particular product, right? Where does the how long does it take for a feature to be from specified down to production? And how do I measure that? Do I go to GitHub? Is there like a certain Jira ticket attached to the pull request, and can I see when the Jira is progressing along the different stages, and when the branch merged and the release tagged, and so on, right? So that was the exercise really at my previous company that a part of the team did, and they started having snapshots for every team: the data team, the cloud team, the app team, the
Ah,
iPad app team.
snapshots by team. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they start showing, okay, this team's quite well on the way. On their journey, after 1 month, 2 months, improvements and so on. So then I think if you started doing those snapshots early before the AI adoption, you can definitely, compare. This team has heavily adopted.
Yeah. I mean, I wish it was that easy, but maybe I'm just being making coming up with excuses, but like
Yeah, it really comes
the
down to just doing, like, breaking it down in small steps and doing it.
Yeah.
I have some colleagues that are constantly going about what if. Yes, we have to understand the problem so we can well define the solution. But at the same time, if we spend days arguing back and forth about what is that, how it really works, until, like, put it then, spin up. I'm very quick to spin up a Docker Compose cluster with the different, like the Nginx and whatever. Like, this was particularly about rate limiting, or about shared memory, like, right, using a
Oh, rate
swap.
limiting. I worked on an Nginx rate limiting module back a couple of gigs ago.
Yeah.
We should
So
trade notes
the
on
thing
that.
is, I hate these very theoretical, like, I want a very early MVP definition. What do we need to do to prove some of this? And that's what the guy in the company I worked for did. He went with like a prepared solution like Pop Flash or Pop Dog, something. It's not Pop Dog because that's the train in Counter Strike. it's like pop up. It was something like that.
Okay,
Anyway,
but like, okay,
it
I
gave
understand
you
what
a
you're
very
saying.
clear path, very easy. It didn't take long. It took a week.
You're talking about making some stone cold measurements, and you're right. You're absolutely right.
But
And
I had a
I
second
think
point
and I think that
also.
the objective, but like, how do you deal with people's, vibes, That's the
Yeah,
thing,
so
huh?
people, second thing, right? First thing is the metrics, because this is the same problem that we always face as a platform team where we're not directly valued against the business. And we need to, our metrics really come down to the Dora metrics, right? We need to optimize for those, and we need to prove that our efforts and our projects optimize those metrics. So that's how you can attach value to a platform team, aside from constantly asking them
So, have
to
you honestly had success? So, this is how you've defended your DevOps work in the past by saying, like, hey, we are delivering faster thanks to my work. I mean, are you just playing this by the book?
No,
Do you have a real case
that,
study?
yeah, but I found, so the team that I was in was doing this. I think I stayed for 6 months and then I left. because I thought there was fundamentally something wrong with the way that the platform was being developed, and I wanted, instead of constantly being forced to go and do little band-aids on the different teams' infrastructure, I wanted to have a proper design. But I've also learned that that is not really something. But anyway, so I've seen they, because there was a very strong culture of sharing results in that company. So there was always these big all hands-on meetings where every team presented the results. So the team presented those dashboards. But I did th think a lot of those numbers were being fudged. For
Oh, well,
example,
yeah, of course. Oh my God. That's what I was going to say. I mean, if you have a culture of doing line graphs, it's going to be so bad.
yeah, no, but also like there was this initiative to increase the AWS resource tagging. And one approach was to add tags and tags policies around the infrastructure as code so that they are being measured and pull requests are being blocked until tag coverage improves and so on, until meetings will continue until the memorial improves. Anyway, but in those
Meetings
cases,
will continue. I've never heard that one, but it's quite hilarious.
it's, I think it's from Monty Python, not, yeah. Anyway,
Meetings will improve.
we'll continue until the morale improves. Yeah. So, but in this case, they actually went through manually and added tags all over the place. And it was justified because some of the resources were not under IIC. But to be honest, I think it was just a hack because they were under IIC and you just had to cope with it just to present the report. Like, yeah, we improved tag coverage from 20% to 60%. Like, okay,
I
fudge.
hate sitting in these meetings because I'm just like thinking, oh my God, this is bullshit. But if I'd say something, then everyone's going to think I'm the biggest asshole in the room.
Yeah, I do say some things, but I've learned to say those things not in public channels anymore. But I go to people, I say, like, that's not
Yeah.
right. You just added the tags manually.
Private
But
meetings will resume.
anyway. So, but then the second part you touched on is about the human aspect. Like, because, yes, sure, you can measure a team per team and you can measure those metrics. But this is something that Gene Kim and Steve Yeager touched on in their talk, right? When they said, like, they had a problem in OpenAI. In where, how can you compare somebody that has fully adopted LLMs versus someone who hasn't? Because if they looked at the traditional metrics, someone who has ha adopted AI is doing a lot better, and
Well, they say that and they don't really tell
yeah,
you
because they sell it
how.
also, right?
Yeah. And
Yeah, but
this is the frustrating thing. It's like, oh yeah, they're much better. They're 10 times the engineer. But like, okay, how do you that's just
the
like a
sentiment has
10x
definitely
engineer is
changed.
like is a meme, isn't it? It just means that
It's
they're
a red
empowered.
flag. It's a red flag. And once I was interviewed for a company, and I passed, and they offered me, and I wasn't really accepting the offer. And then they all called me in, and then they called in like the CTO or CEO, and he came in. I heard you're like
A 10x
a 10x
engineer,
engineer,
and then like,
or what you call a hero or something like that. And the moment I hear that word. And then the other examples was like, our originally founders, they rewrote the whole thing in 3 nights of Red Bull. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not joining your company.
well,
If that's what you Think it's a good like work-life balance. That's not
Come
the
on,
mentality that I like.
you are living in Asia, work-life balance.
Yeah, that was
Here
in
we are
Asia.
talking
Maybe
about
it's
work
close.
on a Saturday morning, work-life balance.
I'm not talking about work. I'm ranting. This is
Venting
my
therapy.
exhaust, my this is my therapy. No, but like you're right, with Gene then, and maybe they are selling these, they are selling AI, and they're selling this. So where are the actual measurements? I don't know. Maybe they were referring something that's publicly available and I haven't read it. I just took them for their word. So
Oh yeah, I mean
definitely.
also that Anthropic thing, I think we discussed that earlier. I mean a
Which one?
report the that report that was made by
Oh
AI.
yeah.
I mean
There
that
was this
was
Anthropic report, and it was like, we asked Claude to estimate the task and then it finished it in 10% of the time. We asked Claude to analyze all of its work and it estimated that it finished it all in 10% of the time. It's like, yeah, well,
I
you
mean
know, my friend.
I guess the next thing I'm gonna do is ask a Gemini or Claude how to measure the productivity gains. And of course, it does feel completely wrong to do it that way.
Yeah.
I mean,
Unless it can surface hard numbers.
I'm inclined to just pull it back to vibes, you know, like, so I was asked to give a pres internal presentation about the gains of AI and, I'm thinking of just turning the talk into something like how people are happier, which might not go down well, and I might get. But I think that's the key thing for me. I'm actually just genuinely happier because I can now deliver faster and better work.
You know what? A team lead of me in the past, he used to do the stand up, every weekly sync up, or I think it was weekly, and he would ask the mood, like happy, sad, every time for every member to
For
measure
stand-up.
it. Yeah, as part of the stand up, like, you know, what did you but it wasn't stand up, maybe it was like the weekly check-in or something like that. But team wide, everyone
Oh yeah,
shared.
but that's a typical thing you do in a retro, for example. You know, you
Yeah.
have safety check
If you
and
have to,
vibe check.
if you have recorded it, then you can say, well, since we rolled out Cloud Code plans to everyone, happiness has gone up,
Yeah, but it's a
but
but happiness
anxiousness
could.
has gone up too.
Well, it's difficult to measure that too, because ultimately,
There's all
I
the
mean, like
factors.
personally, I can be, maybe it's the my Germanic blood, but like I wake up in the morning and I'm not freaking happy, dude. And then
Yeah,
people are
no,
like,
I
oh,
was
hey, happy new year, how's it going? Like please
like, yeah, sure.
stop.
Claude deployed all of my features that I estimated for 2 weeks of work in just 3 days. But at the same time, the toilet on the second level is broken. It's like
Yeah. Oh, actually, that reminds me of my particular client. The office has so many like problems.
But I do think overall, I think after the Christmas period, New Year period, the sentiment and the way people talk about AI has significantly changed. People are more like declaring that
Oh.
they don't look at their code.
Yeah,
They're more.
that video. I mean, you linked it to me. I can't believe he was right.
Yes, from
That Theo
Theo.
video, to be honest, I find Theo a little bit irritating to watch for some reason, but like I did
I
watch
always
it.
complain, but I always watch his videos.
Yeah, I did watch his video and I thought he was absolutely spot on.
Yeah, they're good.
I even tweeted, yeah, so I don't know, maybe it's his hair. But anyway, the
It's just the side comments of like, but I felt maybe I got used to them, or I feel there's less. He was very much frustrated that Anthropic was not giving him anything, and he was very much saying OpenAI is doing a great job. But maybe because it more aligns with me now, maybe it's my little bubble and it fits in my bubble better. I was like, oh, he's hailing Anthropic. Now I like to
Yeah,
watch his videos. I
but
don't know.
but I still feel like I'm perhaps I need to rewatch the video, but like yeah, there was that whole spiel about not looking at the code anymore, but I still feel like people I feel like he said it. Well, maybe I'm just daydreaming at the moment, but like I still there's still a lot of people who somehow throw in a weird argument that like I'm not looking at my code, but at the same time
It's
I do look at it just to make sure it's producing good code. Like, so what is it? Are you looking or you're not looking? You know what I mean?
no.
Are you like, what do you mean by I'm not looking? You know, this is, I
Overall,
feel like people are not being super honest about it.
I think it's a slope. How you say it's like a range of looking at code. I'm looking
Yeah,
at code
like I'm not
diligently versus
looking.
it's a range. Yes, I'm looking like at every line, or I'm looking at the functions, or I'm looking at the file structures, or I'm looking at the architecture, high level, cleanliness of it, perhaps. But I had something else I wanted to say, and now it's gone. Oh no, that the other, I thought you were going with the sentence like I'm not looking at the code, but it's, and then they say it's the most well-tested and validated code
Oh
that I
yeah,
have ever
and
delivered in my life. And a lot of people say that, like I've never spent so much like effort on unit tests because, and I think this is true because with the AI, the unit tests are so effective now. The moment the AI doesn't like write proper code or in like creates a small bug, it gets an immediate feedback. Immediately says like, "Hey, that just broke." I was like, "Oh, I forgot about that," and it fixes it. And I think that's true. I think it like, and we discussed about this for the last three podcasts, and I hope I've convinced you a little bit. But these
well,
price
I'm
feedback.
still a little bit dubious about even that because in the last video, if you remember, we observed that the beads
No, but
test
that's
suite was
beats.
failing.
We don't talk about beats. We don't talk about beats here. I mean, as a we talk about it as a memory system, not as a well-tested architecture. Because I told you in the very early on, I am very scared of updating beats because I was just looking at the change logs on the
Okay.
releases, and it was like fixing merge conflict that corrupted all of your issue task lists. I was like, holy, I don't want to upgrade to,
I think Dax and OpenCode were extolling their tests, but I haven't looked at OpenCode, GitHub. Oh, okay. So I think so. Just
But
to
when we talk
summarize,
about the
just to
test part,
summarize our last chat.
if you want to talk about the test part, because you just sent me the video of spec-driven development from AI engineer that was filmed. I looked at the date, November 22, from one of the engineers that works on Kiro, the AWS spec-driven development IDE. And it was very interesting because he dives into exactly where do they trust or put LLM flows. And I
Oh, yeah.
know they because they do property-based testing, and if you use Node.js, you can do that with fact check or fast check. Sorry, fast check,
Yeah, or
FC.
hypothesis.
Hypothesis in Python, he mentions, yes.
Yeah,
So,
I'm actually not very familiar with this. This is so you do you know what he's talking about then?
because I was porting AWS CDK to CDKTF for Terraform, or CDK for Terraform, there's several scenarios where they use property-based testing in their testing harness that I also ported over. I think it was in the way that you define schedules for like scheduled rules or scheduled things. Like if you do CloudWatch and you want to define a schedule and you have different constraints, they do property-based testing in that part of the code. And I never used it before, and I was like, "What is all this?" Because then I have to install fast check, and I have to learn how that works. And usually, I spend a lot of time trying to understand how the tool works and how the property-based testing works. But in this case, the moment I installed it and I copied over the tests, and then I could verify that my Terraform, because it wasn't really testing Terraform or CloudFormation, it was really testing the functionality of defining a scheduled rule. So fast check, really cool. It was really nice to see it run, and I'm very excited.
Okay, and so the fast check is the snap.
Is a
Sorry, property
Node.js
bit.
property-based testing framework.
I
Yeah.
need to. Okay, I want to see these tests run in OpenCode, and I'm just struggling to just find out how they released. Okay, how? Like, I hate it when there's no make file.
Hey,
How
while you
did.
do that. So one of the things that they highlighted in the spec-driven development setup of Kiro is they use procedural or like algorithm deterministic logic to set up the testing and the validation. So they force you early on to define ears formatted tests So, sorry, user requirements and user stories.
Like
So as a
cucumber
you,
type stuff, or what are you talking
yeah,
about?
behavior driven kind of like as a user, when I do this, I expect this or something like that. So that they are very strict in the way that they want the LLM to generate these, and they do a lot of like structural tests against those because they evaluate that and they generate property-based testing out of those markdown. So that's super interesting, right? Because now you're no longer asking an LLM to transcribe the user story into some type of testing. You're actually fundamentally validating whatever the user and the LLM has come to after, brainstorming. And I think LLMs are great at that. Help us, expand our horizon and think, and then really structurally validate it and generate proper tests about it, which you can trust. So that was a very nice aspect on it. And then the second part that he highlighted was in
I
keto.
gotta see this. I mean, can you show me these? Sorry, my brain is not really working. So, do you have maybe you can steal the screen share and show me these property-based tests? Do you have anything to hand?
I don't. He didn't show them in the video. I would need to install Kiru and figure out where
Oh
they
my
are
God! So
when he was
we're
showing
talking about
them.
it. We don't need we.
No, because we are asking the question, how can you trust the test that the LLM is writing? And the way that Kiru is solving it is by, putting a lot of formal me mechanisms around it, and that's very
Well,
exciting.
have you
So
ever
I'm
seen this
gonna.
before? I've never seen this before.
Blacksmith runs on Depo.dev. I'm actually investigating that because I'm forking the Terraform CDK, and the biggest concern is the cost of the runners. Because some of those TypeScript programs require 8 CPUs and 32 gigabytes of memory when they are running. So I need to find a good GitHub hosted runner alternative.
Okay. Do you use Bun, by the way? Because I know just Bun got bought.
Everyone's using Bun now. Yeah, Anthropic acquired it.
But
Crazy.
like, I'm struggling to run this test here. It says Bun Turbo Type Check. But
Turbo
this.
is Turbo repo. TypeCheck is just a package of JSON. So Turbo is a way to run tasks across your monorepo and with a cache. So it will look at the input SHA, and then if the input SHA didn't change, it would just use the cached result so it can speed up your test. So Turbo is just going to run TypeCheck as a package of JSON script. But
Okay.
TypeCheck is just going to run TSC. And usually TypeCheck is just running the TypeScript compiler. It's not
I
really
can't work
doing
out how
anything.
to run OpenCode tests.
Yeah.
Okay. If I can't work it out, maybe let's have a look at the GitHub at least. Oh, sorry, I'm not sharing the screen here. Doop,
Right.
doop, 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 doop. I'm just.
There are a lot of good things from the video you shared me.
Oh, cool. But I need. I'm a visual learner. I need to see the bloody test. I need to see the test. I need to see it running. I need to
So
see the
try and
test failing. I need to build trust with it, that the test has value. You know what I mean? It's like this is a journey. Maybe it's not worth talking about now. I kind of want to turn the conversation back to oh yeah, like one thing that was very good that
yeah from
from Theo's video is
Theo's
the
talk,
Jevons
yeah.
paradox, which was actually mentioned by Simon Willison, and I'm also a huge fan of Simon Willison.
Yeah.
If you don't subscribe to him, then you're missing out. I really love his tool to share. So this post I wrote here is like I use his UVX his Claude Code transcripts and to
There's
pick
another
out.
tool I wanted to show you as well, but anyway.
To pick out the session and then we sort of share it as a team. So I think this is
No,
like
no, no.
level, this is like
This
level
is,
one.
yeah, this is very, very level one.
But that's where we are at my workplace. It's like the different stakeholders and the people are basically in a browser copying pasting between that and VS Code because the VS Code organization is so locked down. Anyway, so.
You
Yeah,
were saying Jevons paradox.
I'm trying to get people. I mean, this is a new argument for me, and I believe it. I'm behind it. It's like if things are getting easier to do, we're going to do more of it, not less of it. I mean, I think it's all public stuff I have a guy that I think I used to work with him. In he was sort of posting some like doomer stuff, like it's like when AGA comes along, then prime real estate is going to collapse. And then I asked him like, why do you think that? And he says like, with heavy AGI job displacement, that people will become on lower incomes. And then people just won't be able to meet rent, I think is what he was trying to say. And then there'll be like a spiral down where everything sort of collapses. And then I do mention Jevons paradox in that Twitter thread. And then he comes back by saying it's reasoning by analogy. Analogy will break at the limit. It will hold for some time. As long as we're not bottlenecked by energy supply, oh God.
But I agree with that.
But with the cost of intelligent labor approaching zero, there'd be very few demands that supply cannot meet. Lower incomes coupled with lower prices would produce a deflationary cycle unlike any we've ever seen. And then he quotes this, I don't know where he gets it exactly. We're going to hell before everyone goes to heaven. I mean, I get that, but at the same time, I don't want to get behind it. I don't want to think that's going to happen. I mean, his combativeness of like the Jevons paradox is going to somehow break at the limit. I don't think I don't think so. I mean, I don't want to think so.
But regarding the fact that originally I always feel that we are heavily subsidized, they are spending so much money, and we are actually using a lot more quote than our quotas, unless you're using API keys, which is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I think things could get a bit more restrictive in the future. Like, we're definitely. Since we're the astronauts
Which to me
of the
feels like.
AI, we're getting a free ride in some ways.
Yeah, which to me feels like it's going to become this elitist, only few people can afford. I think it's already a little bit the case, right? There's only a few people that are spending $600 a month on three Cloud Max double X plans, and those guys are like, outputting so much, that it's as if like
Yeah,
what's
like Steve Yeager is like
yeah.
elevated. Well,
Hey,
I
I'm
don't
going to
know.
sh
He was
share.
very elevated before all this stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to share something that I said I would share. A couple of tools that are really cool. I want to share my whole screen. Yeah,
Well, actually,
share
I'm
my
not
screen.
too sure about this.
Can you see my screen?
Yep.
All right, so you see here at the top, I have this little bar that shows my codecs. I've not used much right now, and I'm
Is
like
that
at 1%.
is that an official codex thing, or is it some sort of?
No, it has cloud here. Oh, so
Oh.
stupid. 5 seconds ago, cloud was right there, but I guess I ran it on another one.
I'm
Let
not a
me
huge
run that.
fan of menu bars. I always feel like they're just sucking
No,
down
but
power. But you find
it
this one
can.
useful. Well, what did you
For
think of
me,
the?
from what I do right now, because you kept asking how do you keep track of the context and how do you keep track of the usage. But I don't care so much about context because you get a warning about 30% in. So I'm like, okay, that's when I kill the session.
I probably have to
But
cut this out. I think you accidentally shared someone's name there.
where?
On the bottom left,
Ah, this one.
yeah.
No, it's a book for about AI changes tools, but you still owe the craft. I like that
Okay.
page.
Okay. I'm just a bit nervous about having to edit this video.
It's not a CV or anything, it's a book.
Oh, okay.
So
It's a
I think he'll
strange
be
name of a
happy.
book. Oh, that's the author, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, he's the author. And he
So
works at Shopback in Singapore, and he's kind of as an evangelist talking a lot about the tools because he's introducing them. I think he's a bit of an engineering
is
geek there.
he bumping up AI? Well, this is the kind of
Just
stuff.
know how we should reason about AI. But the fact is, get
Okay,
back
but
to
maybe
this
share that
thing.
with me if it's good, because I need,
I
because
haven't.
yeah,
The reason
I
it's open on my laptop is I still haven't read it.
All right. But just to summarize where I am, Vincent, I need to basically become an AI mascot in my company without.
Yeah, these are definitely the recovery codes you should cut out.
Thanks. Okay, hold it. So I need to really cut that out. Okay, let me just make a listen. I can find it. Cut.
Yeah, you're the
Oh.
ma you're an AM escort. You can start from there.
Okay,
I
what were
wish
you
I could
showing
do.
me? What were you showing me? You're
I
showing
was.
me.
Hold on.
Oh, you're showing me this like codex. You're showing me this menu bar thing. You're flexing to the podcast listeners or the viewers, like, yeah, I'm burnt through 1 billion tokens in the last 24 hours. Stuff that you couldn't afford or you couldn't get through your company.
No, that's where we were. We were talking about how it's like an elitist, right? But that made me realize I have this little bar here at the top that shows you how much Codex, how much Cloud, and then how much Gemini I've used so far.
How
So I
much
can.
of the earth you've destroyed?
Yeah, that's. So people are doing these Instagram trends of.
$500? No.
That's API calls. For sure, because I only pay $20 a month. So just to show that if you pay API calls, it's a bit silly because they cost a lot of money. But if you use something like a $20 subscription,
Yeah,
you get easily that amount.
but still, actually, these
But
costs.
this is wrong because this is probably because I haven't spent
You
extra
know,
usage
as a
$500.
consultant, people, it's sometimes eye-watering, but it's not unusual to see people being billed, you know, $1,000 US dollars a day, right, for a consultant. And then I, at the same time, I get a bit, you know, I shout out when I see someone that has spent $600 on Claude in a month. Of course, in real terms, AI is incredibly more efficient than a consultant. Okay, maybe I have to cut that out.
You know, I'm trying to find. So this is Cloud, because you were showing a way to share Cloud sessions. You can take a session and you can create a nice web page from it
Yeah,
using Will Simon Willis's tool.
I can link to my blog.
And then there's this thing called the Cloud. I don't know what it stands for, like Assistant Session Reviewer, and it's CASS, and it you run an indexer across your Cloud session directory, and it will it's using. Oh, it's using Rust, so it must be fast, right? Okay.
I mean, come on, this is trivial stuff, but you could do this in
Yeah.
Shell.
No, but the fact is that like, yeah,
Okay,
but
so you're basically going
you
across
can
all your
find anything.
conversations.
Yeah, across everything, and you can type like a small little, like a single word, and it will find all of them. I think it's doing a fuzzy search, I'm not sure. But my
So
indexer has an error apparently. And it's there's another problem is that all of my
when it comes
screens.
to these transcripts, I feel like there needs to be a tool to say, like, to rate the transcripts, right? Like, this was a really good session. This session sucked. What went wrong here? What went right here? You know, these sort of like metadata. So we have a way of sharing transcripts, but we don't have a great way
Oh, look, it even
of.
works across OpenCode and Codex and Gemini.
Yeah, nice. So
It's crazy.
we don't have a nice way of really learning as a human how to interact with AI, I feel. Because if we feed these transcripts back into AI and asking how to improve, I think that I'm not too sure. It might work,
Yeah, but that's not, yeah.
but I'm talking about upskilling teams, getting people more to build trust with the
Effective
AI.
and building shared prompts and things like that.
Yeah, yeah,
But
yeah. This is what I'm trying to do at work.
this is one thing that they highlight in somebody asked a question in the Kiro talk saying, can I customize the templates and the prompts and the workflow? And they're like, they are over here. I don't remember the answer, but it seemed like given the way that they are so structured, I think it's hard for you to change those things. And I definitely feel that those templates, those workflows, like I tried to use Packet to set up some type of ADR So it's funny because Packet is ADR in a way, kind of not really exactly the same, but it's in a way you're capturing like a decision, you're keeping track of a decision record, right? So I was trying to ask Packet to create a decision record, and it couldn't really get it because like, oh, you're building a program. So, and I was like, yeah, well, no, but we're using LLMs. I was like, oh, so you're building a program that is gonna, you're gonna call out to the open API, and I was like, no, I'm trying to do something. So it was really really difficult to get it to do kind of like meta spec type of things. Like, I want you to create a library of prompts to use for my community planning sessions and things like that. It was like, huh? I only know how to create a program. Just like, so you want me to create a program to run your community meetings? No, that's not what I want. So it was So yes, you need to be able to modify these workflows. I tried Conductor first, by the way, to have a feel on it, of it.
Oh yeah. Did you have a good experience like I did?
No, actually
Oh
both
God.
Conductor. Even though in the product design and definition, I said very clearly like what we're building here is a way to like a type of a process for the repository. I want to build a pro, so it's a repo for keeping track of decisions and proposals and spec and so on, and didn't go for that. Again, probably not the right project for it. But yeah, other than that, Conductor was pretty cool. It actually kept Gemini going. Like, at some point when I finished with all of the upfront planning, Gemini went in a loop and for a significant amount of time kept going. I've never seen Gemini keep going like that in a while. Have you had the same experience with Conductor, like that it can keep Gemini going a bit like
Well,
Flux?
it was a good experience. So I guess I don't. I mean, it was a week ago, if not more. So I guess it was doing its thing. Yeah, I guess it was doing its thing. Oh, okay. You know what? The weather is actually good right now. It's not raining. I feel like I need to wash my car and run around while there's some sunlight. So I think I'm going to end the conversation a bit early, if you don't mind. I still think what we talked about was valuable. I don't know if we, I guess at this point I would like to engage anyone who's listening to please comment below and chime in with your thoughts around making AI. I mean, are you positive about AI and things like that? Or another interesting thing that Theo did, where he had like a little poll on his video to say that, do you think Opus or do you think Claude is outputting better code than you are at this point? And I think it was like 65% agreed that Claude is already better than them at coding, which I thought was interesting. And to be honest, I agree. Like, I don't know how you
Me
feel.
too. Yeah, me too. I think it's
The
better
code
because
that
it
it
can pick up
produces is
anything.
better than me.
It's more like it has a broader knowledge base. Like it can produce codes for a broader set of things that I don't know.
Yeah,
And
but
so for the
even if I ask it to produce Go code or code or
No.
languages I know quite well, I don't I think it's pretty okay.
No, but I liked Steve Yeager's take saying that it's way better at Go than at TypeScript. I always felt TypeScript is perfect because it gives you the structure and the schemas. But Steve Yeager says TypeScript is way too, you can do way too fancy things with types in TypeScript, and Go is just really down to the, straightforward. So AI is better with Go.
But there's some arguments made. I think, oh, I can't remember his name now. The educator guy, who makes some TypeScript courses, he was arguing that types and AI go well together because you want that
I
testing
always feel
heart.
like that, but Steve Yeager was saying that he rewrote
That
Gas Town.
TypeScript was sucks in that regard.
He says it's a token waste. It's generating a ton of tokens that don't really do much,
Yeah.
and with
Yeah, Go
Golang
is so much cleaner in types,
succinct
yeah.
and direct. Although that what I like with Go is this very write everything twice mentality of Go, which is like don't over generalize, no generics for ages. Don't like just rewrite the code, rewrite the functions.
I still don't even quite understand generics. I mean, I don't use them, so maybe I'm missing out.
I did originally when I was writing code Golang, but when I asked the LLM to write, I go like, yeah, don't like I don't mind it being duplicated in several places because I'm like,
Yeah,
sure.
exactly. It's cheap, yeah, to do all the different
You need to maintain it, it's
type
gonna figure out.
switches and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I get it. I mean, Go, it. I mean, I'm feeling pretty hashtag. What do you call it? Inspired, hashtag grateful because I know Go better than most people, and I know AI better than most people in some ways, and everything's coming together really nicely for me. I feel I'm touching wood here. It's like everything's going well, except maybe my pay packet, but
Theo also did one final because the whole Tailwind laying off 75% of staff, and then people saying, well, if your business model was like, what was their business model, right? How that they got disrupted. I don't know if you know about this whole Tailwind
Oh
scenario,
yeah,
drama.
I did notice that. That was interesting. I think I didn't read the whole post, and he also made a podcast himself, right, where
Yeah,
he's walking his
I read the
dog or
post
something.
and I listened to the whole
Oh
podcast
really? So you
because
probably
he.
have more details, but my what do you call it, headline reading interpretation was that yeah, the LLM was taking their business away because you didn't need to use Tailwind and its abstractions, I suppose, to work with CSS. You can just get Claude to do it.
Yeah,
And
the
then
thing.
it boiled down also to the website. So I think there's this LLMs.txt, and they removed it because
No,
they don't
no, no.
want to.
The thing that triggered it is somebody went, I'm gonna, here's a pull request to add the LLM.txt to your docs. And he was, I'm sorry, but I have to decline this. I just had to lay off 75% because the docs are our only funnel and nobody's reading them because the LLMs are just generating code. Nobody's reading our docs anymore. And it's how we funnel our business. We've got 80% down in revenue. Was it 80% down in traffic through those funnels? So he's measuring those di different ways that they are driving business, right? And a lot of the
Like this
discussions.
Stack Overflow problem in a way, but whatever, different.
So a lot of people were saying, like, from Tailwind, they realized as an expert, I have a network and people come to me to and that's how I get jobs. But that all falls away with AI. And then some of the Theo, he says, I've been sponsoring Tailwind for a long time, love what they do. I learned a lot from them. So in his video was more like highlighting all the good work that they've done. And he shared like there's this, even if you are using an LLM, reading their design guides, like they've written a book on how to do the UX, which is not just about the CSS, but really about like how to build UX. He says that's a really good book, and you should really read it. And he's also encouraging people to sponsor them.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I'm sponsoring is always not a solution, right? You need a viable business model. And if their
Yeah.
business model is upselling through their docs, yeah, they're in problem.
So,
I mean, and interestingly, Charlie from the
what?
Astro project mentioned that they have LLMs text, but they also have a similar, they're in the similar boat because they need to upsell their other,
They're hosting, I guess.
oh, they have some, what is their, I can't even remember what their,
Their
what
core
the,
business, Astra.
Well, there's a product that I think they were working on. Oh, this PYX thing. I think that's
Packaging.
going to be a paid for thing.
That's like Dino then. Dino and Bun like reinventing the packaging. Well, not Bun, but Dino reinventing the
Yeah,
packaging for.
so you get the point that everything could just, yeah, they're in the similar boat. Okay, anyway, I'm interrupting you.
No, the other thing then Theo said is as a business, if you let LLM generate your code, go check the dependencies and see if you can go sponsor them.
Oh,
Like
come on. I
if
no,
but to me it
no.
seems like the real solution is ads, right? This is how Warp, they say like we're giving you Opus 4 access for a fraction of the cost because they put
But no one's
ads
going to read the
inside.
docs. Ads? How are
Yeah,
you?
because ultimately inside the docs are ads. Like if you like this, here's our offering, right? So if you translate it, nobody's going to the docs, it means that those ads no longer live with the docs, but they must be surfaced by the LLM somehow, right? And Warp's operating model is like we give cheap AI access in our terminal by serving you ads. And that's like, and if OpenAI would introduce that, the outrage is already created. But it's the only way, like if OpenAI can
Well,
semantically.
any business that requires ads now, I guess with LLMs in the mix, LLMs are filtering out the ads.
Yeah.
So any business model that relies on ads is basically in trouble here, and it probably includes
Yeah.
Google.
Google, of course. Yeah, Google had a big wake up call. They had all hands on deck early in the ChatGPT saga,
So
where they
how
were like
what is Google's response there?
to become a leader because they have put so much money. They have their own TPUs. They build their own Gemini CLI. They become an LLM platform.
But like, okay, going back to Tailwind, I mean, don't say sponsorship is the answer because it's not. What is Vincent, how do you think they're going to come out of this? Or how is Astral going to come out of this?
I think if the LLMs, I guess it's the whole problem with LLMs not giving attribution, right? If there is a way for LLMs to give better attribution, and it's like imagine that while it's generating your website, it goes, and by the way, there's a sale on Tailwind right now. I'm using Tailwind to build your website.
No. I
If you
mean, that
want,
sounds like another weird form of advertising, which sounds insane.
it would be funny if you're using the MCP or you're troubleshooting the issue and you're going like, it's still not looking right. There's still an overlaying bug. It just stops. It just said, go to the Tailwind team, dude. Like, go ask them to fix, to help you fix it.
Pay them, because I don't have the answer
Yeah.
here. Oh, God.
I think
Well.
if a company is smart and Anthropic is smart because they did like the double limits, usage limits for the whole Christmas holiday, that was a gigantic success. Look at how many people tried it out and were like, I got so much done and I'm 100% in on this right now. I actually
Yeah.
upgraded to $100 a month
Well,
now.
they're like drug dealers, aren't they?
Yeah, so if Anthropic is listening, Boris, if they're smart, what they're gonna do is they're gonna make
Give us
clouds.
even more coffee
Yeah.
credits.
Like loop detected, please, like based on the context, it looks like Clippy pops up. Looks like you're trying to fix a Tailwind issue. Here's the Tailwind guy's website.
No. I think your proposal that I mean it's frankly
Ads are
insane.
coming. Ads are coming. I think
No,
this is
there's got to be a better.
okay.
Okay,
I'm gonna do a
let's end
hot
it.
take. Hot take 2026. Hot take from Vincent. Ads in your LLMs this year, guaranteed. Warp's already there, so I already want not.
Well,
Except for Warp. Let's talk.
arguably there are already ads. Like when you run Claude, it gives you like a tip. Try this mobile experience. Try
But
this
it's always
desktop. Try
theirs.
this.
It's always like, use our designer plugin for better web design. And what about it goes like, use the Tailwind MCP, subscription only, $5 a month. Okay, bye. Go wash your car. Let's see how many people hate comment. Stop
Okay,
it. Ads.
please rate the podcast. Please comment below. Please tell us how we can improve. Actually, I did get feedback from Swix, but the Riverside thing looks a bit too expensive for me, at least. It's like £24 a month to
Yeah.
improve the quality. I was like, I don't want to spend money.
No.
Everything's improving except my pay packet. I did earn. I should note. Maybe I can give you access to my YouTube share, but I think I've earned £2 thanks to this whole podcast series. So, thanks, Vincent, for coming on this
That's
journey.
£2 off for a family of four.
£2. I think I'll can buy you a coffee when I see you in Vietnam or
Yeah,
something.
come to Vietnam. You can feast for exactly one meal.
Whoa! Yeah. That's probably the real issue that we should have talked about is how people's pay packet. Because Madhushan, who I was chatting to on X, he was right to point out that people's income is not improving.
I
Okay,
mean,
even
yeah.
okay. See you guys.
See you.
See you guys. Oh my God, I say you guys. Sorry. See you, Vincent.
See you,
Comment below.
Joseph.
Bye.
You guys and girls, come on.
Oh yeah. Sorry.